Greet each one in the precious name of Christ, one that is that shepherd that we just asked to lead us. Is it okay that he leads us? Is it okay where he leads us? Maybe some rough paths, you know. But we have a shepherd that we can trust. Matter of fact, it's a shepherd that we are dependent on. This morning we want to talk about being dependent or independent. Dependent or independent. Are we dependent upon our shepherd? Or can we find grazing on our own? I mean, yeah, he's over there, he's in sight, but can we find grazing of our own? Can we find our way through life somewhat on our own? The thing of being dependent or independent is actually kind of an interesting thing, because a lot of people want to be independent, right? I mean, this shows up at a very young age already. Okay, watch those children on that high chair. I mean, they are determined to be independent, right? Set a bowl of food in front of them, and they want a spoon, and you don't feed them. They want to feed themselves. Very independent. And the sight can be quite interesting sometimes as you watch them youngsters trying to be independent, and they don't realize how dependent they actually are. Some of them, if left to themselves, they really don't get a whole lot of food into them, into their mouth. Usually ends up who knows where. And it finally boils down to mom got to feed them anyway. But they were determined to be independent. So the idea of being independent shows up at a very young age already. You know, you want them to... We want to teach them how to tie their own shoes. And so long before they know how to do it, they are determined to do it. And, well, you know the results at times. And so it finally boils down to mom's got to do it anyway before they can go out. But they were going to be independent. Well, it's not only the young children. So we think of our lives, as we think of you and I, are we dependent or independent? Is there such a thing as being totally independent? As much as some people want to be, and they try to be, and they're determined to be, Scripture has it very clear that we really aren't independent. We can't be, as much as people try to be. The thought of being dependent, you know, being dependent on somebody, we tend to think of it as a sign of weakness. But it really isn't. It isn't at all. Now, some people, if they are too dependent on somebody else, I mean, and you know, in our everyday things, it can be maybe in certain aspects of it. But the idea of being dependent in a God-given way is not a sign of weakness at all. Matter of fact, it's a sign of strength. The fact is, God has ordained for us to be dependent. God has not ordained for us to be independent. He has ordained us to be dependent. And that shows up like we talked about babies, children. Your babies born into your homes are not independent. In no way are they. They're very, totally, 100% dependent for their well-being on you, so to speak. God has ordained it that way. God ordained, and it shows also up in little children. Because God wants little children to be dependent on their parents. Scripture tells us that, train up a child in the way he shall go. Right? That's dependent on mom and dad to do that. God has ordained it that way. God gave a direction that way. He didn't say, turn that child loose and let him be independent and it's all going to turn out. Train up a child in the way he shall go. The child, for his training, is dependent on mom and dad. Even youth. You can't, don't get to the age of youth and now all of a sudden you're independent. Youth are still dependent. They're still dependent. They should be dependent upon their parents for a lot of things, for some things, right? There should be accountability. See, dependency and accountability kind of go together. And youth still need to be accountable to mom and dad in that way, are dependent to certain things. Now, obviously, we turn them loose on a lot more things than we would our 5 or 6 year olds or 10 year olds even, okay? As they grow older, we do some of that. But I think God has still ordained it that they are dependent on their parents to an extent. Matter of fact, even church members, are we independent? Are we independent as mom and dads, as older people? I said accountability and dependence somewhat goes hand in hand because we're not independent. We are accountable to one another. You choose to be part of a group of believers. You are not independent. You are dependent in an extent. You are accountable to that group. You can't say, you can't tell me a thing. I'm going to make my own decision. I'm going to be independent in these kind of things. No, we are dependent in the sense that we are accountable to each other. So we see that God has ordained for us to be dependent to an extent in various ways. We are dependent upon others. So why does God want us to be dependent? How has God ordained this? Why has He made it that way? For the most part, this morning, we want to see how we are dependent upon God. As much as some people, a lot of people like to be independent upon God. I'm not going to have a God to tell me what to do. But Scripture tells us that we are dependent upon God in a lot of ways. Turn to Isaiah 43 to start off with. We want to take a look at who is God that we are dependent upon. Isaiah 43, chose to start in verse 8. Isaiah 43:8. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled, who among them can declare this and show us former things. Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved. I have showed even and have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Here God is speaking and saying that I am God. There is no other. He says, before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. God establishes the line of authority, the one that we are dependent upon. He says, I am God. There is none before me, none after me. He says, even before the day was, I am. Before God created the world, He was. And that is hard for our human minds to wrap around. We can only go to Genesis 1:1. That's as far as our minds can comprehend. Beyond that, we can talk, we can say it, but we can hardly comprehend it, but God has said it. Before the day was, I am. He says, and I will work, and who shall let it? Who shall hinder God from working, he says. The God that we are dependent upon has spoken. He said, there is no other. Now go to Genesis chapter 2. Why would we need to be accountable to God? And as we think of this morning, I know we're going to talk mostly about being accountable to God, but along with that, God has ordained His Word to give us direction. We talked about being dependent upon our earthly authorities, and all of us are under authority. Okay, nobody exempt here this morning from being under authority. And as we see how we are dependent upon God, we see how that can tie in to our dependence, our accountability to our human authority that God has ordained as well. Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now back to Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So this very God that always was, before the day was, formed man. He formed you and I from the dust of the ground. And the reason I'm bringing these out is because God, not only he formed man of the dust of the ground, he said, let's make man in our own image. You and I are created in the image of God. You and I would not be here if it wasn't for God. We can see this, we can start seeing how, why we need to be dependent upon God. I mean, it's simple as this. If God hadn't created us, we wouldn't be here, right? And so God created us for a purpose. And this is the God that made us, and so why can he not say yea or nay about us? He's the one that formed us. Now let's go to New Testament, Acts 17. Here we have Paul in a discussion and a very interesting discovery that he made as he was in the midst of Mars Hill. And he was waiting for Silas and Timotheus. And as he was waiting there, he was observing some of the things that were happening. And he was stood there in verse 22 of Acts 17. Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill. And said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Now notice how he declares God unto them. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they feel after him and find him, though he be not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. We'll stop there for now. Paul reminds these people, this God that they were trying to worship. They were just trying to make sure they got everybody covered, and so they got this altar to the unknown God. And he says, that's the one I want to talk to you about. I want to explain to you who this, in quotes, unknown God is. He's the one that made the world and all things therein. Verse 25, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and things and all things. He's the one that we are dependent upon for our very breath. None of us would live without that breath. It's not something that you can decide on your own you're going to do it. You are going to be, God, today I'm going to be independent once it comes to my breathing. Forget it. It's not going to work. If you take it in your own hands, you probably wouldn't last long. But God is the one that we are dependent on. Now, I know some of these things seem very simple maybe, but you know, it goes to show us what how dependent we actually are on God, and we'll continue on. Verse 26, He hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell in the earth. This God, He took of one blood all nations, made all nations of one blood, in other words. And there's many nations, there's many different backgrounds of people, many different colors of people, and languages and cultures. But it all comes from one blood. This God that made man in His own image, He's the one that did that. Determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. You watch the world. You see the world. Some of us have traveled. Some of you have a lot more than I have. And we see the bounds and the habitations and the times appointed for these many nations that God has made, all of one blood. Why would not be we to be dependent upon Him for all things? Because in verse 28 He says, "For in Him, for in God we live and move and have our being." How independent can we be? These people did not even know God here at Athens. They did not know God. But Paul reminded them that in this God whom you superstitiously worship, ye ignorantly worship, He says. He says, in that one you live and move and have our being. They were dependent upon God without even knowing Him. And He says, we are also of His offspring. Did God not say that He made man in His own image? In His own image? In this God we are dependent upon, even the ungodly. Even the ungodly are dependent upon God. You believe that? Because think about some very practical things. And we are in these same things, obviously, dependent upon God. But even the ungodly that don't know God. The ungodly, if they are healthy, where does that health come from? It's dependent upon God. Now, I know we can do things. They do things to ruin their health. Not to ruin their health, but they do things that ruin their health. But if they do have healthy bodies, it is totally dependent upon God. Even for safety, right? Like I said, we are dependent upon God for these very things, but the ungodly are too, for safety. God protects a lot of the ungodly out there, whether they recognize them or not, whether they know that there is a God. And the generation growing up in the society today, a lot of them do not know God. They don't even know that He exists. And that's really not, I think I can safely say it here, no matter who is listening. I have members of my own family that do not recognize the fact that there is a God. Okay? They really don't believe that there is. And so when you don't believe that there is a God, you fall into you fall into some very wicked and corrupt ways of life. But yeah, that is in my own family. Okay, but they are dependent upon God, yet they do not know Him. They don't even know that He exists. Don't even believe that He exists, but they are dependent on Him. They've been kept safe many times. It's God's protecting hand. What about the rain? What about the sunshine? None of you made it rain yesterday. We were dependent upon God for that rain and the sunshine that we have today. We are dependent. The ungodly are dependent upon God, whether they recognize them or not. And there's many more things that are totally out of their control, but they're dependent upon God. Romans 1:28 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge," and there's a lot of people like that today, "God gave them over to a reprobate mind." Notice who did that? It was God that did that. God that did that. The God that created them. The God that gives them the very breath. Gave them over to a reprobate mind, even though they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Why don't people like to retain God in their knowledge? Why do people want to be independent? Because I'm not going to have anybody tell me what to do. And as soon as I acknowledge the fact that there is a God, Now I'm dependent upon him. Now I'm accountable to him, and I don't want to be, and I will not be. Matter of fact, you know what? Let's just say there isn't one, they go ahead and say. And that way I don't have to deal with that. Well, they do have to. They will find out. They will find out, and we'll see more of that later. But now we just talked about the ungodly, how they don't like to retain God in their knowledge, yet are dependent upon him. The righteous are too. We actually are totally dependent on God to live a godly life. Do you believe that this morning? To live a godly life, you are dependent upon God. Matter of fact, first of all, your salvation depends upon God. You cannot be saved on your own, by your own merits, by your own work, by your own... You can't come up with anything of your own that would save you apart from God. Let's look at John chapter 6. Now, I hope I'm understood in this point. I'm not talking about predestination. That's not what I'm talking about. Saying that, you know what, God decides whether I'm going to be saved or not. There's nothing I can do. That's not what I'm talking about here this morning. But if we choose to be saved, if we choose to turn to God, we choose to repent, okay, we have a choice in the matter. God does not save us without it being our choice. That's true. But you cannot choose to be saved and come up with your own way of being saved. John 6, verse 44 says, no man can come to the Father, come to me, no man can come to me, this is John 6, 44, except the Father which has sent me draw him. Okay? Except the Father draw him, he cannot come to me. And that is what we call conviction. A person is not going to be saved unless he's convicted of a sin. Because why would you be? If I have nothing to confess, if I have no sin in my life, what are you talking about? Why would I need to be saved? But conviction burns in our hearts. But that comes from God. Except the Father draw him. Go to Romans chapter 5. We see some more verses that tells us how we are dependent on God's ways for us to be saved. Romans 5, verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him, through Christ. It's dependent upon the blood of Christ for us to be saved. It's our faith in that. But we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Our atonement for our sin comes through Jesus Christ. We are dependent upon that and our faith in that. We are saved by faith. We're saved by faith in the atonement, blood of Christ. But we are dependent upon that and our acceptance through him. There is a verse in Jeremiah. Let me just read that. It was an interesting way of putting that, and I think it describes so well on who we are as human beings. Jeremiah 10, verse 23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. That was Jeremiah 10, verse 23. It is the way of man is not in himself. We are dependent upon God to direct us. So our salvation, to live a godly life, our salvation depends upon God. But like I said, I'm not talking about predestination. I'm talking about what he has provided that we need to believe in and accept. John 15, John 15, he talks about the vine. And Jesus here is telling us and showing us very clearly how dependent we as God's people are upon him to live a godly life. John 15, in verse 1, starting in verse 1, first five verses. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. We so see so clearly how dependent we are on God to bring forth fruit. To bring forth fruit. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, does not live a godly life, does not exemplify Christ, does not bring forth the fruit of the Spirit, he says, he taketh away. He taketh away. There's nothing you can do about that. I mean, if you choose a path like that, he will take you away. But he that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Now verse 4, abide in me and I in you. See, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. He says, without me ye can do nothing. You know, you prune that tree, that fruit tree. You trim those branches off. It is separated from that vine. That branch is going to die. There is no two ways about it. It will die because it's been separated. As long as that was attached to that tree, it was dependent upon that tree to give its life. But once that is separate from that, so we cannot walk away from God. We cannot walk away from the ways of holiness and righteousness. We cannot walk away from those things and expect to bear fruit. At that point, somewhere during that process, God will cut us off if we are not bearing fruit. We cannot live a life of unrighteousness and sin and expect to bear fruit because we are dependent upon being attached to the vine of Jesus Christ in order to bear fruit. He says that, for without me ye can do nothing. Ye can do nothing. And that goes on to, as we think about without me ye can do nothing, think about how dependent you are in your God-given responsibilities that you have. All of us have responsibilities in some way or another. Whether it's as church leaders, whether it's as parents, whether it's as school teachers, whether it's as youth, or whatever the God-given responsibilities we have, we are dependent upon God. And that's a beautiful thing. Who else would you want to be dependent upon? In order to fulfill your God-given responsibilities, you need to be dependent upon him. It's where the wisdom comes from. It's where our strength comes from. It's where our direction comes from. Because we have God's word, and that's what we go to receive direction for our God-given responsibilities. We're dependent upon that. As much as we struggle sometimes to be dependent, but God has ordained it that way. He has given us that direction, and we see out of his word here on how dependent we actually are, because he said, for without me ye can do nothing. We're dependent on him for forgiveness. Where do you go when you want to confess a wrong? Sometimes it's to other human beings, but you know what? It needs to be done to God as well. In order for us to receive forgiveness, we are dependent upon God to receive that forgiveness. The Holy Spirit's guidance is dependence upon God. God is the one that gave us the Holy Spirit Jesus actually tells his disciples, he said, you should be glad that I'm going away because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. But that Holy Spirit's guidance is, we are dependent upon God for that. When a person wants to live an independent life, God allows that to an extent, okay? The Holy Spirit is taken away from him, if he had it. The Holy Spirit is taken away from him, and a person is left to himself to an extent, but he's still dependent upon God in some things. But we're dependent upon God for that Holy Spirit's guidance. What about wisdom? We see we're dependent upon that as well, right? James 1 tells us that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of who? Of God. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, he says. Liberally. So we ask of God for the wisdom. There is other wisdom. Scripture talks about earthly wisdom, right? But how does he describe earthly wisdom? It's not wisdom that any of us will want here this morning. And so the wisdom to do right, the wisdom to walk with God, the wisdom to be obedient to our God-given authority, the way God wants it to be, we are dependent upon God for that wisdom so we can walk with him. These are things that we as godly people, we are dependent upon him for. As a matter of fact, our joy depends on him. Believe that this morning? That our joy depends on him? To an extent it does. And a greater extent it does. Our joy depends on our obedience to him. Okay? It goes back. In other words, let's turn it around. We can never do anything of our totally own independence to create joy. To come up with joy. Happiness, for a short amount of time, I'm talking about inner joy, is dependent on God's provisions for it. God's provisions for it. It depends on our obedience to him. John 15, are you still there? Verse 10 and 11. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Our joy is dependent on our obedience to God's commandments, not a set of things that we come up for ourselves, but it is, he says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, and that your joy might be full. We can come up with a different set of ideas and laws and things that we want to go by, and which people do when they want to be independent. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to make my own decisions, and I'm not going to have anybody else tell me what to do. And when they step to that point, they actually have just changed masters, and there's somebody else telling them what to do, right? It's just a change of allegiance, that's all it is. They're still under law. They're still under rule. They're still not independent. Now they're still dependent upon God for some things. But they're still dependent upon the evil one to give them direction, which they... But he says here, he says, if you keep my commandments, he says, your joy might be full. So this morning, if you want joy, inner peace, obey God's commandments. Because even our peace is dependent upon that. Isaiah 26, verse 3, it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Who? God will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on God because he trusteth in God. It's dependent upon that again. God has set the lines. He has set the rules that if we keep our minds on God, in spite of circumstances, we can have peace. Don't try it on your own. Don't try it in an independent way. You're dependent upon God and His ways, and keeping your mind on that is when you can have peace. Acts 17 and verse 29. Continue reading where we left off there. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Verse 30, it tells us that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. There is a day appointed for each one of us. There is a day appointed for everyone, whether they were dependent upon God or not. Well, yeah, everybody was dependent upon God. Whether they retained God in their knowledge or not, there has been a day appointed for each one. And even in judgment, are we dependent on Him? Even in judgment, are we dependent upon Him? These people that walk away and say, I'm going to live my own life, independent life, I'm going to do what I want to do, going to stand before God because a day has been appointed. They are going to stand there along with everybody else. And when they stand there, each one of us is going to stand there and the books are going to be opened, it says, right? Revelation tells us that. The books were opened. There's two of them. The books were opened. And they're not going to say, now God, let me see that. I'm going to decide where I'm going to go from here. I've always lived an independent life, and at this point, I'm still going to decide for myself what the eternity holds for me. I'm going to No, it will not be. They are going to be dependent. Their eternal destiny is going to be dependent upon what, yeah, they have chosen in this world, but it's going to be by what God says. By what God says. And that has to do with our life that we lived here. Whether we acknowledge the fact that we are dependent upon God and His commandments is going to be one outcome. Whether we are determined to be independent, I'm not going to have anybody else tell me what to do, is going to be another outcome. But at that day, we are going to stand there. Everybody is going to be stand there. These people that did not like to retain God in their knowledge. These people that don't even acknowledge that there is a God. This family member of mine that doesn't even know that there is a God is going to stand there. Everyone, there's many like them out there. Many, many, many like them out there. Oh, the horrible of it. This horribleness of it when he stands there. But he's going to be dependent upon Him. And we are fully dependent as to what He will do with us. What He will do with us. You know, the fact this morning is that we are dependent upon God whether we want to be or not. Whether we want to be or not. We are dependent upon God. Are you okay with that this morning? Are each one of us okay with that this morning? We're going to have to be. We're going to have to be. Or we can choose not to be. But the fact of the matter is, someday we will be standing before Him, and we are not going to be the ones to decide. But now let's go back. Verse 31, he says, He has appointed a day which He will judge the world by that man whom He hath ordained. That's Jesus Christ. He hath ordained Him, and the provisions have been made through Him. It says, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, and that He hath raised Him from the dead. The assurance of the resurrection. That is the assurance that you and I can have this morning. That when we get to the day appointed, when we stand before God 1 John 4 tells us that we can have confidence in the day of judgment. We can have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Are we that this morning? Are we like Christ this morning? As he is, so are we in this world. Forget about being independent. Forget about what you are thinking. Are you like Christ this morning? And if we are like Christ this morning and attached to the vine, we can have boldness in that day that's been appointed for each one of us. And we can know what that answer will be. We know what that answer will be. So this morning, you are dependent upon God whether you want to be or not. Why wouldn't we? Let's abide in the vine. Let us bear fruit that is for his glory. And let us be obedient to his commandments and follow them closely the way he wants us to be so we can have that boldness. You know, as a child of God, it's what a blessing to have the assurance, like it says here, the assurance that we can depend on this great and sovereign God, the Heavenly Father, the one that made us in the first place, the one that we are dependent upon this morning for all things. Let's show him our dependence upon him. Let's walk with him faithfully and follow the God-given direction that he has and his obedience so that we can have confidence in the day of judgment. Let's kneel for prayer.